We are starting today to speak about something I've been saying for some time that we'll talk about. I remember I said at the beginning that my assignment for this year, I feel inspired by God to do it, or maybe I just woke up by myself and I reacted out of anger to do it, but whatever it is the righteousness of God, amen? My assignment is to help Christians get reestablished in the fundamental truth of righteousness, so that they will depart from their own works and the labors that they are getting involved in trying to do that which Jesus has already done for them. I said that for me, the way I observed it, that the common teaching in today's Christianity, it does not take cognizance of the fact that Jesus had done some things. And I like to say this again and again, like I said the other week, that Kenneth Hagin said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. So I'm not afraid to repeat, even though sometimes I listen to myself, I say, yeah, I sound like a broken down record. I say, it doesn't matter. You understand my point? It does not matter. People must be established, all right? There are many things that Jesus has done for us, and we tend to forget that he did them. He has broken every curse. You understand my point? All those ancestral curses, they have been broken. They have been broken. In Christ Jesus, all you have are blessings. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. If you understand that, say amen. Yes, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You may have problems in life. It's not a sign that you are cursed. The problems of a believer, there are different ones of them. Number one, all of them will have problems at one point in time or the other. They will have a problem. Even Jesus had a problem. I said it. Judas was a problem. Are you getting my point? So problems are challenges in life. The fact that they are there just means that you have to overcome them. To him that overcomes, the Lord Jesus will say that again and again in the book of Revelations. He expects us to overcome. If you have problems in life, it just means you have to overcome them. It does not mean they are a sign that you are cursed. The reason why Christians have problems, there are many of them. Number one, in my experience, most importantly in today's day and age, is what the Bible calls lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. One of the things is that they wrongly interpret, just like I was saying, the events of their lives. Jesus has broken the curse. If you have challenges, it just means that you have challenges. Are you getting my point? If you start a business, it can fail because you don't know how to do it. It doesn't mean you are cursed. It means you go and learn the proper procedure. Like I said last time, I quoted from the book of Proverbs chapter 27 in verse 23. I said that the number one reason why Christian businesses generally fail, in my own estimate of it, the number one reason is that people don't understand accounting. That's the number one reason. They don't know how much money they are making. They don't know how much money is going out. They don't know how to apportion money to the proper places. So if you're having business challenges, go and check. Are you following what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23? That be diligent. I like the American, American Standard Version expression there. It said, be diligent to know the condition of your flock. That is, take the time out. You know, make up your mind. You understand? This is a ministry. Periodically, we'll sit down and check how much money do we have? How much money are we spending? I'm not one of those people that, in quotes, now listen to this so carefully. I walk by faith all the time, amen? So Kingdom World Ministries walks by faith. But I'm not one of those who spend money by faith. Yeah, you get what I'm going to explain. You know, you enter into contracts, you don't know, you have no idea whether you'll be able to pay. You say, we are doing it by faith. Well, I pray you really understand what faith is. I'm not one of them. I receive money by faith. I prophesy over the ministry by faith. Are you getting my point? But I must know how much we are paying for the things that we are getting involved in. How much are we paying our TV broadcasters? How much are we paying our the various radio stations? How much are we paying in many of the things that we are spending money on? And I have to, like the other day, we're increasing the number of stations that our program was on. At a point in time, I said to my coworkers, I said, listen, we'll pause for now. Let me watch the flow of finances for a while. Are you getting my point? It mustn't get to a point where he end of the month, time to pay for the next month or next quarter, you are trembling. You start praying, in the name of Jesus, send money. In the name of Jesus, send money. I thank God I have not, look, listen, it's only once I went through that experience. That was many years ago. Only once. It doesn't happen the second time. It hasn't happened the second time. I don't think it is proper. You understand? I like the one that God has, the kind of rest that God has placed inside my heart. Once it's the end of the month, I say, okay, God, we have to pay you. Where do I sign? I just signed the check. Oh, yeah, pay them. That is all. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it is not because we have money somewhere that just flows anyhow. No, we have learned how the cash is flowing. We are watching the growth. Do you understand? We don't grow faster than God is supplying the resources. No, we try and balance the two. We are not slower than He's supplying the resources. Neither do we go and enter into contracts where we now come to church every day. We are trying to raise money to meet up with the obligations that we have made. Are you getting what I'm explaining? It's because people don't know the condition of their flock. And this is not just ministry now. In businesses, it's like that also. Especially if somebody is giving you something on credit. Because a lot of money that's coming into your business is not your own. You must know how much is flowing in. You understand what I'm saying? And how much is supposed to go somewhere. Now, this is just by the way. I hope it will help a lot of Christians who are listening to this. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock. So a lot of times Christians have problems. It is not because they are cursed. Listen, you know, I've said this thing this year at least 50 times, but you just get ready. I have another 200 more times to say it before the year is over. You are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. You just need to learn to walk in your blessing. That is what we are talking about. You understand? Jesus has broken the curse. He has broken the curse. You will not die young. Are you getting my point? You will not die in poverty. You will prosper in this life. All God wants you to do, do you follow, is to learn. What did I say? Learn. That's what they say. No, the other day I was reading. I was just sharing with my wife. I know it was yesterday. Was it this morning? Or yesterday morning or this morning? Anyway. All right. I noticed that Jesus said something talking about truth. He said, abide in my word. You understand? I was reading, I think, New American Standard. He said, continue in my word. He said, then you are my disciples indeed. Now, if you continue in my word, then you will discover the truth, and then the truth will make you free. That is, it's not just to say one day I have given my life to Christ, it is to abide. As you are abiding, you are discovering. As you are abiding, you are discovering. The longer you abide, the more you discover. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the more you discover, like Bishop Oyedepo said, the more you recover. Are you getting my point? That your recovery is tied to your discovery. And I just noticed again, studying yesterday, or was it this morning, that listen, it is not just to wish, it is to continue. It's a continual process. Are you getting my point? It's what? A continual process. The longer you stay with the Lord, the more you are proving yourself to be a disciple, the more you discover, and the more you recover. That's just the way it is. So until you discover some things, you may have challenges in those areas. It does not mean you are cursed. It just means that you have not yet discovered the thing that will enable your recovery in that area. And the assignment of the believer, therefore, is to continually go for discoveries. Now, I told you, I've said this many times. The first time I was going to really meet my wife and declare my intentions and start, you know what I'm saying? I had to go with a gift, you know what I'm saying? Yes, you know, you just go empty-handed like that. It's not good. What did I say? It's not good. Just don't go empty-handed. All right? So I went through my whole... I said, what do I give as a gift? Just to show that I'm a serious man who's looking for a serious matter. Are you getting my point? I looked through everything. I said, this would be good. I made that tape for her by Bishop David Oyedepo, titled, Go for Discoveries. You understand? Now that shows you the kind of thing that I understood and the kind of thing that was in my mind. Listen, I understood that Christians must go for discoveries. Bishop Oyedepo said that it's based on discoveries that you achieve recovery. Are you getting my point? Yes. So if you discover, you will know that you are actually free. That's what I'm trying to say in all of these things. If we discover, we will know, we will understand that we're actually free. He said you will know the truth, and then as a result of that, you will not experience freedom indeed. Very important. When people don't realize that Jesus has done these things, they start gathering prayer warriors for deliverance. Then T.B. Joshua start making a merchandise of their souls because they are looking for deliverance. People like that, they're all over town. I said this to you before. Let me say it again. Many of the so-called churches these days, they are just babalawos who found out that people don't like coming to villages and coming into bush and coming under trees and going into shrines. So they say, all right, if Muhammad will not come to the mountain, let the mountain go over to Muhammad. So they bought a suit, all right? It's not too expensive, all right? That's what they did. They hired a small hall and put a sign over there and called all kinds of name of Ogbanji Deliverance Ministries. And then people will come with, you see, people are looking for deliverance. Let me tell you something. You know, I say something to you? That Jesus said that you will know the truth. But before you know the truth, you must be what? My disciples. Let's just read that. I think it's very important. I just feel like we should read it. It's very crucial. The book of John chapter 8. I read from verse 30. Okay, let's start from around verse 30. Say, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. In verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, this New American Standard rendering, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is my emphasis here? That he said, if you continue, everybody say continue. If you continue, you know what most people do these days, what is common in the world today is that people are not even starting, not even talking about continuing with his word, but they want to go for deliverance. And that is why they are not free. They are not even starting. You understand what I'm saying? And listen, deliverance, he said, is from discovery. Are you getting that point? He said, you will know the truth, and then that truth will deliver you. Deliverance is from discovery. But you cannot make the necessary discovery except there is continuation, except there is persistence, except you prove yourself to be a disciple indeed. It is not just to come to church once. Who is a disciple indeed? Is a person who, for example, you enter into school, maybe a secondary school, university, whatever it is, and you want to get a first degree in law, in engineering, in medicine, in history, in botany, in biochemistry, whatever. Now, you're going to be in that school for a minimum of 4 years, the way Nigerian system is right now, or for up to 6 years, depending on the subject that we are talking about. Now, for that period, it's not just to go and show up in the lecture hall and mark that you are present. Are you getting my point? If you want to be a biochemist, you have to continue in studies. You follow my point? Periodically, they set exams to check how much you have paid attention to the studies, all right, to the lectures, to the learning, the things that's going on in there. What are we saying? A disciple, another word for disciple is student. That's what it is. Forget the big spiritual sounding word. A disciple is a student, is a pupil, is somebody who is learning. Are you getting my point? The way somebody who wants to be a lawyer starts memorizing every case necessary, starts paying attention to the courses, trying to get the principles behind what they are talking about, that is the same way we should face the word of God. Are you getting my point? It is not just to try and get a result. Christians are too, you know, these days, this Zio Zubo, they call it now, Christianity. It is out of order. It is out of order. It is not God must answer me now. He can answer you now, when now is necessary. But he didn't call you into an answering now. He called you into a life of persistent learning. Do you follow my point? You must know. It is not just to come to church and pray and get results. Friend of mine said he went to redemption camp. Many of you know where redemption camp is, you know. Redeemed Christian Church of God, you know. And beside him, he saw people who came with mat, cooking pot, stove. I'm telling you, not a joke. There were a lot of people there, of course. Hundreds of thousands, maybe over 1 million people. And then the woman he was telling me about, that one tapped the nail, you know, after getting food ready, serving the children. Finally, I tapped the neighbor and said, excuse me, when Papa starts praying, wake me up. Lay down the mat on the campground and went out to sleep. Now, when it is prayer time, just give me a small nudging, I will wake up. And then the man starts pouring down blessings. And you think that it will guarantee you freedom. Kenneth Hagin said he did all these things too as a young preacher. He did deliverance meetings, loosening meetings, setting free meetings, getting loose meetings, let everything go free meetings, all kinds of meetings. He kept on changing. He wants the novelty behind one wears out. At the end of the day, he said he observed that the same people who came for deliverance came for loosening. The same people who came for loosening came for setting free. Those who came for setting free, the same set of people came for living free. They came for all kinds of free me, I'm in bondage. Being the kind of person he was, he said, no, something's out of order. And of course, as part of it, he went around their homes and didn't see any difference. The sick man remained sick. The poor man remained poor. The struggling one remained struggling. You understand? The one that the house was in disarray, it was just the way it was before they started the long series of meetings. So he went and prayed and said, God, something's out of order. This is not working. So, if you've been around on Tuesdays, all right, if you have not been around, go and get the series, The Role of Fasting in Prayer, all right, for a believer. He now turned aside to look. You know, I said that in the last few Tuesdays. You must take time out to turn aside to look. So he turned aside to look and said, God, what is going on? And that's what fasting is about. He took time out to pray and fast and said, Lord, why is this thing not working? I'll add many words. The one is the Lord told him, I'll tell you, but I'll add many words to it. These are my many words. You have been copying what everybody else is doing. You have been walking the confusion of the general public. Are you getting my point? You are doing things that attract crowd. You are doing things that attract people who will give you money. You are doing things that everybody is doing because you think this is a culture of Christianity. Later, I'm going to talk about the culture of the priests. These are just the cultures of the people. You have not bothered out to take time out to seek exactly how it works like you are doing today. I've added those words just to summarize everything. Is that summary itself or expatiate everything? More like it. That's not a summary. Because what the Lord told him was much shorter than the one I have said. What did the Lord say to him? He said, you are trying to do by this your prayers and deliverance the things that only my word can do. So the guy came to church and banned all deliverance meetings. And you know, one thing he said, which is what I want people to bear in mind, is that if you think you have seen manifestations, I have seen. I've seen people almost walk on walls. You lay hands on them, they fall. They foam in the mouth, foam in the ear, if that's what you want. They foam from every place. That I've seen all kinds of manifestations. I've seen people scream. You see, people say a demon was going out. I have seen it also. And their lives were not changed. Finally, he stopped all of that and began to teach the word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that is when you are my disciples indeed. And you must be my disciple indeed before you make discoveries. And it's only when you have made discoveries that you will be free. As he began to teach, the sick were getting healed. There was a time he testified that he pastored a churches for a number of years. There was not one day he buried a young person in the church. Everybody that died had to be old. He said there was a woman he and one of his friends went to go and minister to, a minister of the gospel. The woman was 70-something. She has cancer. The doctor said she was going to die. And they said, listen, you are not going to die. He said, no, you boys, you're younger ministers, leave me alone. I've said God. They said, no. Let God heal you first. Then you can die if you want. But we will not accept for you to die like this. And they began to pray with her and ministered the word of God to her. She got healed. I think 12 years later, she saw the woman. He saw the woman again. See, going around. She was 80-something at that time. See, going around preaching. Are you getting my point? You can't, you know, all the laying on of hands, they can lay hands on you until all the hair on your head falls off. It won't change your life. Because it is the knowledge of the truth that sets free. Prayers don't set free. Christians, no. Notice what he said. He said, after these things, the Jews believed in him. He now spoke to those who had believed. This single believing is not going to help you. You must persist in believing and continue in learning. He said, take my yoke upon you. How? By learning of me. It is as you learn, you get free. He said, as you are continuing my word, you are proving that you are my disciples indeed. And the secrets of God are hidden for his disciples. Are you getting my point? It's not on the surface. It's only those who persist in learning, who persist as disciples, that discover the truths of God. And those are the things that set them free. Number one problem I said that keeps Christians in bondage is ignorance. They take time out, pray. You get all kinds of meals, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. This morning, my wife and I drove her somewhere. She's not in town. She was traveling. So I was taking her to where she would join the bus that she was going to go with. So someone, young man, who we have some business dealings with, said, Pastor. He calls me Pastor. Pastor, please, anytime you are praying, remember me. So I said, wait. Any serious problem? They told me some issues about his life. Well, I didn't have time to talk with him. But I finally said, look, I don't mind praying for you. I will pray for you. I told him I will pray for you. But you want to be free properly. You don't just stop me on the road and say, please pray for me. If I pray for you now and my prayer is answered, you will get a measure of deliverance. But I can assure you of one thing, you can't sustain it. The prayer works, delivers you once, but then you have to be able to sustain the deliverance. You know, we read this expression that the yoke shall be destroyed because of what? The anointing. That's King James English. Read the modern English, it says the yoke will be destroyed because of fatness. That if your neck is lean, as we destroy the yoke, as you are going out, they hang it back again. The only one that removes the yoke permanently is when it breaks because your neck has become fat. That is no longer yokeable. That's what they say. Young man said to me, pray for me. I, you know, I was driving. You know, I said, okay, I'll pray for you. But I felt like saying, listen, no, this is not a matter of pray for me. This is a matter of building up yourself with the word of God so that you don't need all these emergency prayers. What am I saying? We need to understand this because, you know, there's a plague in today's Christianity, at least in this country. There are people who make money from it. A family has a problem. Let's all go to the village and go and uproot something that was buried. And they will dig and dig and finally find it. Is that not so? You cannot dig this earth and not find something. I don't know why human beings believe that kind of nonsense. If you dig long enough, you eventually encounter one unusual stone. And peradventure, the stone actually came out by itself. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. I am not impressed. Of course, go and check it. Those things don't work. The people are still in bondage. Let me sit on my own main message. My message is to Christians who are disciples. You are free. Did I hear an amen? We are talking about the works, or should I say the work of Jesus. That's better. Because I want to talk about his coming. Like I said at the beginning, it's just coincidental that this is Easter weekend. I didn't plan like that. I said I'll talk about this. We just that today is when we're now starting it. Why did he come? What did he achieve? What is he doing for us currently? In fact, I divided it when I was maintaining about into three phases. His coming as a human being, his death and his resurrection, and his current day life. In fact, I think is it W. Kenyon or somebody wrote a book on the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? Kenege also wrote, but I think it was Kenyon that wrote, you know, about it first. You understand? Now, those things are very important for us to understand what exactly he's doing now. Remember, it's as we discover that we walk in freedom. You know, the one I said to you the other time, I like to repeat it again and again. Christians go around being afraid of hellfire. You understand my point? As if every little thing, God will throw you into hellfire. Let me say it to you again, in case you did not know. You are not going to hell. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You are not going to hell. That's the summary of it. A friend of mine gave me materials, all of them on hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. As a believer, you ain't going to hell. Did I hear an amen? You're not going to hell. Those who are going to hell are those who rejected the gospel of Jesus. There are many people who go to church, they actually don't believe. Church going is a culture. Yes. They actually don't believe. My landlord is an 80-year-old man. First day I met him, he said, what is wrong with you, Pentecostal of these days? An old man. His father was a bishop. He said, I thought I was a Christian until my daughter came back home from university one day, sat down and explained the gospel to me. He said, that's when I realized that I was not a Christian. Even though my father was a bishop, I was born an Anglican. Grew up an Anglican. Big man in the Anglican church. Then my daughter, now to show you how old he was. My daughter came home from school. She and her friend sat me down and showed me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I realized for the first time, I've never been a believer. So I finally gave my life to Christ. Maybe it was about 50 years of age. Been in church all his life. He was talking to me, he said, what's wrong with you Pentecostals these days? You are not preaching the truth anymore. You are not telling people be born again. He said he went around the churches in town, all the Pentecostal churches. He named the only two that he saw that they were even telling people you needed to consciously, deliberately give your life to Jesus Christ. The problem is that people just mix everybody together. We are members of the same church. So you want all of us to be doing the same thing and not to... No, listen. Preach the truth. If you have believed... Are you getting my point? and you are walking according to that faith, that's just a sign that you really believed. Not that you just went somewhere and everybody wants to give your life to Christ. You put up your hand. Then you put down your hand and go back to your normal life. You did not believe. If indeed you believed, I'm telling you again, you ain't going to hell. Are you getting my point? Unlike that fellow in the dream, in the testimony, that said, I didn't give money, so God now got angry and threw me to hellfire. If you like, don't give money, you are not going to hellfire. Do you get my point? You are just proving that you should die early. Yes. Because your life is given for a purpose. If you are not fulfilling the reason why God gave you that life, he withdraws it after a while. Isn't the scriptures like that? Gives you the first year, no fruit. Second year, no fruit. Third year, no fruit. Say, let's cut him down. They say, no, please give us one more year. Let's put manure around. They feed you with the word, with instructions. People pray for you. You still don't change your direction. Then you die on time. That's what Christianity is. I hope you're getting my point. That's what it is. That's what it is. Why did I even go into that again? I can't remember. But anyway, the point is this. We want to see what exactly did Jesus come to do for us. We want to be established in it. We're not trying to walk around like being afraid of going to hell because we know we are not going there. There's no chance in a million that I'm going that direction. I'm not praying about it. I'm not thinking about it. It's not even making me conscious of being careful. I'm more careful about more serious things in life. I shared with my brother, somebody, I think I mentioned to you, I don't know whether last Saturday or on Tuesday, somebody said, a Christian should not be afraid of going to hell. They should be more concerned about whether they are following the will of God for their lives or not. And as a matter of fact, God wrote something for you to do in life. That's why you don't just get up and say that you're bad, I'm going to America. You don't just open your mouth and talk such nonsense. There's a reason why you were given life. You have to be aware that you have to discover that. Anything you want to do in life, be careful to ensure that that is what really you were given life for. Remember the illustration I use all the time? Once my mother asked me, how far would your private practice? I said, Mommy, I don't do it anymore. He said, why don't you? I said, I don't have the time. That I spend most of my time doing ministry work. He said, but that one doesn't pay you money. I said, so what does it matter? I said, will I say because it's not paying? I will refuse to do the thing for which God gave you the power to conceive me. I was talking to my mother. I said, this is the reason why you gave me life. This is the reason why you gave birth to me. It pays or it doesn't pay, forget it, we must continue to do it. And listen to me, there's nobody that hopefully waits for God that will ever be put to shame. Anything I want in life, I have or I'm getting. How do I get it? I pray. How do I get it? I pray. I ask God for it. I've told you before, if I want to go to Mars, and if something my soul says, to Mars you shall go, I will kneel down and say, God, this Mars they are talking about, I want to go one of these days. Bring the technology that will make me get there and back on time so I can continue my ministry. I'm not going to be traveling for 2 years to get there, 2 years to come back. I have a ministry to do. I can't just be... Do you understand what I want to explain? Very, very important. Anything I want in life, I will get it. Then, listen, let me tell you the truth. Oh, God, I have not entered my message, but let me talk. If I want to start flying every... I don't care... I like what he said, Bishop Oyedepo said during WAFBEC. Said, for information, we just bought our third private jet. Was it third? Yes. Third private plane. And we have no apologies to any devil. I said, amen. Those who are writing the papers, does he need a jet? That's your problem. Poverty is your problem. You know now. You can't recognize the tire of a plane, so you can't understand why somebody should have a jet. You don't know that that your car is somebody's Hercules. I hope you know. Yes. That car that you are driving, you don't think you are covetous. You don't think you are worldly. Go to a village. I went to a village for a wedding. I brought out a phone, normal phone. I didn't think, in fact, I'm tired of the phone. Normal phone. I saw boys queue up behind to be peeping over my shoulder to see what I'm doing. I was just trying to send a small message to my wife. And I said, now I want a touch screen. I said, you see, because I was in the village. A phone that I can take and just dash somebody. They were keen up to look at it. What do you think they thought of my car? You get what I'm going to explain. The way you are looking at somebody's private jet, that's how some people are looking at your wristwatch. Say, don't mind them, they are going to go to hellfire. The Lord is good. I thought the Lord is good. Why did I go into that? I'm saying this. Whether it pays or not, there's a reason why I was born. That must be fulfilled. You get my point? Anything I want, I ask God for it. If I want a jet, I will ask for it. And eventually, I will get it. If God doesn't think it will be a blessing to me, we'll explain to you, Banky, this is not good. It's just going to complicate your life. And I say, yes, it's true. Then I drop it. But if I think it's going to be a blessing, I ask for it. So there are poor people. Don't worry. All of us, poor, rich, I will give you a free ride. See, you stop complaining at that time. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What am I saying? That's what Christians should be more concerned about. God gave me life. Am I following the reason why he gave me life? You are not going to die and go to any hell. Are you getting my point? Don't let anybody scare you. Every night you'll be confessing sins you don't know about. Talk to one lady. She's not around now. Only she and her husband were visiting my wife and I at home. We're just talking about her experience. And she said to me, those people tortured me. I was born in that house. Her father is a deacon, a big man, senior pastor in the church. Said they tortured me. That you wake up in the morning. All you did was sleep. But lest you offended while you were asleep, you confess your sin. You want to go to bed at night. Lest you die in your sleep, you confess a sin you are not even sure of. You confess sins like Job. Lest I sinned in my heart. You know, there's one funny prayer we pray. The sin that we did willfully and unknowingly and unknowingly. I'll be honest with you. I can't remember doing that in the last 20 years. I can't. I can't. Pastor Banga, you're saying you have never done anything wrong? I say, hey, wait. I know. When I do, I know. Are you getting my point? And I confess that one. To do blanket confession is against the will of God. It's called sin consciousness. It's not in line with Christianity. I don't do it. When I want to sleep, I sleep. I wake up in the morning with thanksgiving. Ah, Father, I thank you. That wasn't a bad night at all. We worship you. We prophesy over today. Goodness and mercy. We follow today in the name of Jesus Christ. We wake up during the night to pray. It is, hey, there's something. Hey, good. I want to pray about this matter. We pray. I can't remember in the last 20, what am I saying, 20 years? I can't remember since 1987, starting a prayer session in my life with confession of sin. I can't remember. Since 87. Why do I remember 87? That was when I began to study the word of faith. I was confused at the time also. I still remember my classmate, Joy Osazua. That was her name then. She's married over there. I mean, since then, so her name will have changed. But her name was Joy Osazua. The Holy Spirit must have nudged her someday. Say, look, go and talk to that young boy. He's confused. Because we finished a CU fellowship. She said she wanted to talk to me. I said, all right. She said, okay, let's start walking back towards the hostels. Okay? So we started walking. Are you a believer? I don't know. So what do you mean you don't know? I said to her simply, before that time, I must have answered at least 20 altar calls in my life. In case you do not know, I was not more than 15. The time I'm telling you. And I had done at least 20 altar calls. I was in secondary school. I had an old-time holiness preacher over me. So you had to repent all the time. If you are passing on the road and they are playing, what do you call him, Bob Marley. Oh, pirates, yes, they're out by, and you nod. Once you nod like this, you have to go and confess. It's carnality. And I did it too. Confessed all the time, repented all the time. Every meeting I went for, you threatened hellfire. Who wants to give his life to Christ? Who not want to give his life to Christ? You are saying who wants to? Who does not want to should be your question. I remember the film when I was in my first year in university, Bonnie Hell. I don't know how many of you saw Bonnie Hell. You did. I'm sure you gave your life to Christ after that. How can you see Bonnie Hell and not give your life to Christ? I was giving my life to Christ all the time. And the Lord said, oh God, this boy. I just stabbed that girl one day. I helped that young boy. Oh yeah? So she asked me, and I said, are you a Christian? Have you given life to Christ? I said, I don't know. My sister, I'm not sure. I told her that, in fact, I think, I remember one day, the whole hall was full, 500 lecture theater. Who wants to give his life to Christ? Only my friend and I got up and went down. And as I was going down, or coming back to my seat, the lady was following me up from giving my life to Christ, the last evangelism they did, was sitting down there. Look at this boy, still giving his life to Christ. She has been following me up for a while, you know, coming to my room, share the word of God, you know, remind me to come for fellowship. So that particular day, when Joe heard of it, he said, no, now it's not like that. How is it? She now explained that you need to give your life to Christ actually only once. That if a Christian commits sins, he confesses and is forgiven. That was the day I stopped giving my life to Christ. When I realized that he had it in his hands already. I don't approach any prayer time with first, let us call to our mind remembrance all the sins we have committed. I don't have your time if you lead prayer like that. If I have to start calling to remembrance all the sins I committed, something must be wrong with me. That means I let the sin lie fallow to be growing and germinating. You want to start church service? Let's command all the evil spirits that are right here to get out. If you want to hear the word, sit down. Even if you are an evil spirit. I can't go around chasing devils all over the place. I have to live my life. And take example from the Lord Jesus Christ for goodness sake. Read your scriptures. Check how these people used to meet. You saw them meet for prayers many times. They never started with all our brethren. Now we are being persecuted, though. Some of you are Achan in this place. Is there any one of you that is a Jonah? Confess, confess. Oh, did you ever read that? Is that their prayer meeting? They gave thanks. They worshiped the Lord. They exalted the name of the Lord. Explained to everybody and to let God know that they recognize that he's the Most High God. And they tabled before him their problems. And they asked for the kind of solution that Jesus taught them was necessary. He said, you've heard they are threatening. They didn't say, now, please, let them stop threatening. No. Did they say so? He said, now, Lord, you know what you're going to do? You are going to stretch forth your hand more powerfully. Let wonders be done at the mention of that name. That's what they wanted. And the place where they were gathered was shaken again. And they were again filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Even saying, when he said, look, oh, Peter, are you sure you have been forgiven for denying him? You will die and go. No, they didn't say that. They never did. Then as a young believer on campus, when I began to learn the word of faith, they taught us about righteousness consciousness. And that's what I taught in that series, True Righteousness Revealed. For you to understand that you are a child of God. Now you are a child of God. You are beloved of God. God is not looking for one opportunity to beat you or send into hellfire. No, he's not. And you can be sure of one thing, if you're a sincere Christian, you are not going to hellfire. I don't know, my message didn't get there again. Paul said, even though we have spoken this thing, we are convinced of better things concerning you. And he gave the reason. In fact, I told myself, that walking in the Spirit message, I have to do it again. A series, maybe like 4, 5, 6, 7 messages. Maybe when I get back to doing that, I will explain it. Listen, don't walk around your life thinking you are going to hell. You aren't going to hell. Hell is for the devil and his angels and people who believe in them. This is what I mean, all right? We are not exalting our own ideas against the word of God.